Hey guys, I really like, you guys know me. I like geeky stuff. I like comic books.
What?
Oh yeah, movies, pop culture stuff, video games.
Not what? You.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Say it ain't so.
I know, but you know what the problem I have? I have a problem finding out how to get this stuff. I'm maybe like on a regular monthly basis, maybe?
If only there was some sort of...
like a service or
like
something.
A monthly subscription box.
Yeah.
That would fuel your geek needs.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's a good word to use.
I got $1 million idea, guys.
What's that?
Thanks.
That's a monthly subscription box called Geek Fuel.
What? And where would you get that at?
Geekfuel.com/all of my issues.
Yes.
All right, well, my mind is blown right now. So
I'll give you $3 off.
$3
right now.
Whoa, you are blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, keep it up.
I don't know what to say. My world is upside down.
You had me at $3 off.
Yeah,
you had me at Geek Fuel.
At Geek Fuel, monthly subscription box full of awesome.
Buy it now.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All My Issues. In this episode, episode 32, we talk about the best cameos. I mean, that is probably the best of cameo. But no, what we're talking about is those film snippets or TV shows that have a special guest appearance or have a character that may have appeared in some other form of fiction. And you get to see it and you immediately recognize that person and you're like, hey, I know that guy or girl. That's what we're talking about. I think once you listen to what we reference, you'll get the idea. All right, let's get started. I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right, and today we are going to talk about the best cameos. Word up.
Yep.
Sorry, I didn't do the word up.
Yeah.
Cameo. You know.
Yeah. Come on. What's the word?
A word up.
All righty.
You can't. Man, we're not talking about that cameo.
No.
We're talking about.
No, because that is truly the best cameo.
That is the best cameo.
Yes.
So, yeah.
This is in honor of Stan Lee and his cameos in general, particularly Guardians of the Galaxy. We won't talk about it, so keep spoiler-free on the newer movie. But in honor of Stan Lee, we decided to talk, and his many cameos, we decided to talk about cameos in general.
That's right. If you've seen pretty much every movie you care about in the last 6 months, you're probably pretty safe to listen to this podcast. I don't think we're going to reveal anything.
If you've seen every movie in the last 40 years,
you're safe.
Nothing will be spoiled for
That's
you.
That's right.
I get some TV shows too, so.
Yeah, well, I'll see.
Mm-hmm. I don't watch TV or read comics.
You have some comics, right?
I do.
I thought about it, but I didn't.
Oh, man. Interesting.
Yes.
Ah, that makes me think of a couple, too. Oh, I didn't even think of it. Okay.
Well, here we go. We can have also rans, right?
Well, yeah, we can do that. Yeah. We all always kind of do that. Right?
Yeah.
Our best of lists, usually the number increases, it seems. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right, though. That's what makes it fun.
All right, so who's starting, Sam?
Sure. Yeah, tradition, sounds good.
Tradition holds. All right. Samuel will start.
I will start.
There we go. Let it begin.
Number five on the list of the great cameos. My number five is Lucille from The Walking Dead
making a cameo appearance on the show Supernatural.
And that's a good one.
That's a good amazing. One.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, on the current season 7 of The Walking Dead, the actor who is playing Negan, a few years ago, he also was starring on the show Supernatural. He played John Winchester. That is the father of the main heroes in Supernatural, Sam and Dean Winchester.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
So Jeffrey Dean Morgan, that's the connection between Supernatural and The Walking Dead.
He's just a little more sinister in Walking Dead, I think. Just a little more.
Yeah, he's a little more sinister. In Supernatural, he's more of a good guy. He's a hunter that hunts down things that go bump in the night. And in The Walking Dead, he primarily is the thing that goes bump in the night.
Or at least he makes things go bump in the night, I guess.
Exactly.
With Lucille.
He makes things go squish.
Squish. Ooh, yeah. That's, yeah.
Now, the reason why this cameo is so endearing and everything, when Lucille was first premiered and seen in action, the episode was the beginning of season 7, episode 1, titled "The Day Will Come When You Won't Be." It premiered on October 23rd, 2016. When Lucille made her cameo appearance on Supernatural, mind you, Supernatural, this is season 12.
It's been a long-running series.
Yep. Episode 15, titled "Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell," and that premiered on March 9th, 2017. And the way it was introduced is Sam and Dean come. They come home from a hunt, and Dean is covered in blood and guts, and he's holding Lucille, the bat, and they sit down at the table. And Dean looks at the bat and says, "Dad would have loved this." And sets the bat down, and then they go into their whole episode. And so, as a fan of both shows, I was like, "Oh, that is awesome!" I was like, "Lucille!" I'm tweeting and Facebooking, and all my friends were like, "That is awesome!"
Social media going all crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, everybody's going crazy, and there were shirts made of it and everything. So that is my number 5, Lucille, the bat from The Walking Dead, making a cameo in Supernatural.
Man, we are starting out strong because that is a really good cameo, I think. Yeah.
I feel bad right now because Sam has clearly done his research and he's able to throw out dates and everything, and I got nothing.
You got nothing? Yeah. You have a pick, though, right?
I have a pick.
There we go. That's where it is. You know.
My number 5, and it's only at number 5 because we briefly mentioned it. Is John Hurt in Spaceballs.
And it's, an Alien Covenant coming out.
Yes.
Too, so it's a very appropriate pick, I think.
It's timely.
Timely, yes.
Very timely. And in memory of his not kind of recent passing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's been relatively...
Anyway, in Spaceballs, he reenacts the alien scene almost exactly. And then, the alien comes out with a top hat and...
Yeah. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my dumb girl. Yes, I love that.
I like the fact that he says, "Oh, not again."
There's that too.
And it's nice because, he's generally seen as a more serious actor, but it was nice to see him,
definitely.
Kind of poke fun at... he's famous for 1,000 things, but when you're famous in that movie for something bursting out of your chest and you dying in the first third of the movie, it's nice that he could, take time to poke fun.
Exactly. No, that's an awesome pick. I love it. All right. My pick has to do with the movie Zombieland from 2009. This movie had Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, and Emma Stone in it. They were the main cast characters, I guess, in the movie. But the very special cameo that's in this movie, which to me really just kind of made the movie, and I wish there was more of him in the movie, was none other than the Bill Murray.
Yes.
Yeah, when I was watching this movie, because, I mean, you're watching this movie, and like as most cameos go, you have no idea that this person's going to be in the movie. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, it's Bill Murray playing Bill Murray.
Playing himself.
Yeah, even better. And then they reenact the little Ghostbusters scene for a little bit. And it's just great to see him. And then, unfortunately, he gets killed too quickly, yeah, in my opinion. I would have liked to have seen him made it, you know, maybe a little bit further into the movie. But, his appearance in the movie just kind of made that movie for me. That's a good movie, though.
It was a very good movie, but it's funny because no matter how good the movie is, those are the scenes that stick out the most to me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
everything with Bill Murray.
Yeah,
and Twinkies. That's
yeah, that's true, too.
That's true.
That is very true.
I've heard talks of a Zombieland, too.
Yeah, I have, too. And there was, for a short period of time, and they even have one episode. Amazon was doing one of their like premieres where they make one episode to see if it takes off or whatever. And they did one for Zombieland. I watched it. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't go anywhere.
No.
So, which kind of surprised me. I mean, it didn't have any of the, main actors or anything. So, I mean, maybe that changes it a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
You know, yeah. But still, though, I think that was, ride that zombie wave as much as you can.
No, I was wondering where that was going.
I had to choose my words very carefully.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, well, that was a, I don't remember that part of the movie. Yeah.
That enough. Was the unrated.
Desperate times.
Whatever you have to do. All right. Zombieland.
Zombieland.
Bill Murray. Great.
All right, number four.
All right.
My number four is from a comic book, actually.
All right.
My number four is David Letterman with the Avengers.
Oh, my gosh. I remember this.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, that's so good.
The issue is the Avengers, issue 239, which came out January 1st, 1984. Now I'm going to read the synopsis of the issue. It was called Late Night of the Superstars. Here's the synopsis. Hawkeye arrives at the Avengers mansion with his new bride, Mockingbird. Even as the couple is accustoming themselves to the Vision's new hologram form, Wonder Man calls to ask if the team will aid his acting career by appearing with him on the David Letterman show.
Yeah!
With the regular members on a mission, the Vision recruits several former members, and soon Wonder Man, Hawkeye, Mockingbird are joined by Black Panther, the Beast, and Black Widow. I'm just laughing because who would ever thought that Black Panther and Black Widow would be, just the call-in, not the main
Yeah, that's true.
The 80s.
How times have changed.
Yes.
Wonder Man was like the,
Well, you're starting off with the list of what West Coast Avengers, right?
Yeah, you kind of are, right?
It's like,
which I loved.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why, but man, I really got into that series. Yeah.
I wonder who owns the. Why hasn't there been any mention of Wonder Man in any of the?
There has.
Has there been
in one of the movies, I don't remember if it was Civil War or what, there's a Wonder Man movie coming out starring Nathan Fillion.
Get out of here!
Yeah, I remember that.
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Oh my gosh. How cool would that be?
I liked Wonder Man.
I did too. Cheesy, but it's supposed to be.
He's the Kenny of the Marvel Universe.
You think?
Well, they could kill him a lot, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
But he's like decent, but it's just, I don't know why they keep killing him so many times.
I'm a big fan of Wonder Boy as well. From Tenacious D.
I was going to start singing. That's why I was like,
Wonder Boy.
Yeah, it's.
I can imagine.
Mind blocks.
Yes.
It's telekinesis, Holmes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, apparently the bad guy in this... in this issue was a Fabian's
Paul Schaefer.
You know what? That would have been awesome.
That would have been fantastic.
The name was Fabian's. Yeah. It's Jay Leno.
Hi guys. I'll get you, Avengers. The unbeatable chin. Something like that.
The unbeatable chin.
Yeah. You guys are gonna die.
You guys are gonna die. Watch my strength and my chin. I got cars everywhere.
Chin Man shows up. Nobody knows who he is.
Yeah, what? I'll get you, David Letterman. He has a, like a, just a mat. What do you call that? Like the Robin thing, where it's just the mask, right?
The mask, yeah. Yeah. Mask.
I believe they call that a mask.
The mask. An eye mask. It's a mask. An eye mask. There you go. An eye mask. Because, you know, you'd see the chin and immediately know who he is anyways, because that's...
And then he wears all denim.
Yeah.
I am Denim Man.
He does wear denim head to toe,
yes,
doesn't he?
Does. Captain Levi.
Captain Levi.
All right.
Jay Leno, a.k.a. Levi Strauss. And he's rich enough to have us all killed. So yeah, we'll probably should stop.
Exactly. He's probably, you know.
He's probably a really nice guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Actually, by all accounts, he actually is.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah,
and his cars are freaking amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard that too.
Yeah. Well, anywho.
Sorry.
That's okay. The main bad guy in this issue was a Fabian Stankowski. I hadn't get a chance to look him up because I've never heard of him.
Yeah. Oh,
he's not really he's more of a bumbling idiot, according to
so maybe that's his only appearance, maybe.
Maybe
they should bring him back for a Marvel crossover. Like the most minor cut you could make.
Throw him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that.
I was like, who is this guy?
Making the main villain in Avengers 4.
Blow everyone's mind. Who is this guy?
This guy's so cool.
The guy that created that character is like raking into them. He's like, oh yes, I knew it finally.
Finally, baby just come into his own.
Yes.
Talking to like all his 50 cats. So he invades the TV studio in disguise and installs various of his inventions, which attack the heroes on stage. While he sits in the couch and explains his devices. When Letterman produces a giant doorknob and knocks him senseless, that deactivates the power source, and the Avengers are able to make short work of his creations.
So David Letterman saved the day.
David Letterman did save the day.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So to Wonder Man's dismay, however, the show's telecast was ultimately preempted by an emergency news bulletin.
Wonder Man gets no respect.
He gets no respect. He gets no love. Yeah. But you see, David Letterman saved the day. I think after that, he was able to get Andy Kaufman and Jerry the King Lawler on the show. And then that just, you know.
That was fantastic.
That was just fantastic.
Yeah, man.
So my number four is David Letterman with the Avengers.
That's awesome. That's a great pick. That's great. I'm going to do something probably that's uncharacteristic of what I'm going to segue.
We're going to talk about something else, or are you going to actually get out your writing thing and go?
Oh man, I wish I had. We should do that.
That would be
our segue.
As we begin to animate ourselves,
yeah.
Whenever someone goes off and starts talking,
I love it. But the piggyback off your David Letterman thing. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Pearl Jam earlier. They got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame recently. Mm-hmm. You know who inducted them? David Letterman. Yeah.
Look at that.
I don't know what that has to do with anything else besides the
David Letterman.
And Pearl Jam. Yeah, you can't go wrong with Pearl Jam.
Yeah,
exactly.
Pearl Jam is no longer on my list.
No? Okay. Well, there'll be an honorable mention.
They'll get an honorable mention.
There you go.
What number? Four?
Number four.
Number four. I went with the man that started it all, Stan Lee.
Ooh,
oh, but
there we
not
go.
In a Marvel movie.
Oh!
In Mallrats.
Mallrats, yes! Yeah, when I saw him in that movie, I just... That movie.
I didn't... I don't know. There's apparently... Mallrats was not popular.
Yeah, I know this.
Which surprised me. I loved Clerks.
Yeah.
But I saw Mallrats in the theater on the opening weekend because I was that excited for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently it's a complete box office bomb, but I loved it. I thought
it was good too.
Yeah.
I mean, I still quote it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly whenever I'm telling someone to pay attention, I'll be like, focus. And then, and then I can't say the rest of it if I'm at work or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, that's what I was thinking.
She said focus.
But anyway. I loved it. That kid is still on the escalator. I will say that if I ever see a kid on an escalator. So my life is a series of movie quotes pieced together into situations, but hey, whatever. So Stan Lee shows up to kind of save the day, to right what is wrong, providing information. Well, not really providing any information. Deferring questions about superhero genitalia, and then telling little side stories about the creation of the characters and how it was actually used to woo women and how important, you know, relationships are, and gets Brody back on track, I believe. So Stan Lee offering wisdom.
And you know what? If there's anybody that I'd want to accept wisdom from, it would be Stanley.
Yeah.
Excelsior.
And, you know, that might have been the first cameo I've ever seen him in that wasn't like his voice on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends or
That's Incredible Hulk. Yeah.
And actually comic books, but the first movie cameo that I can think of.
Yeah.
Because that had to have been, what, 96? 95?
Yeah,
Clerks was 94. I don't know.
That sounds about right. Clerks probably 94. Mallrats 95, 96. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
So is Mallrats in the Marvel Universe?
Whoa! This blew my mind, Sam Stevens. I never thought of it that way. Yeah, maybe.
No, it can't be.
No.
Because it's in the Viewisk universe.
Which does not
share.
It's
an alt universe on its own without superheroes, or else they would have mentioned it.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
Though that segue into, you know, Blunt Man and Chronic.
That is true. Which, interestingly enough, leads to my... Number four.
That was a pretty good segue.
Yeah. I know. That was almost like we practiced that. Yeah, buddy.
That went according to plan.
I know. Man, look at that. I love it when a plan comes together.
Sam, come on. You have to I pity the fool whenever he says it.
Why do I gotta be pity? Gonna be face?
Give me the most famous face
quote ever.
Hello, ladies, in a normal voice or something like that. I mean, what did he say that was ever important? You got two lines to pick from, and he chose one.
Yeah. but you just assume you gotta say pity the fool. I'm like, why do I gotta say pity the fool?
Because you do it. I mean, I can't do that. I don't do Mr. T.
I pity the fool.
I mean, I would.
That's a good Mr. T. Yeah. That is a good Mr. T. You can't deny that's a good Mr. T.
Yeah, what do I got? I mean, yeah.
You know, Howling Mad Murdoch, though, he said, I want some trash bags.
We do. I want some trash bags.
But that wouldn't be relevant to what was going on right now. But,
so.
I don't know.
Also, you went to me because I
pitied the fool earlier in the podcast long ago, and it was because you can do a good Mr. T. Okay. Why? What reason did you think I went to you, Sam?
I don't know. What reason was that?
Sam, what are you trying to say?
Hey, I'm just saying, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say, Sam, as I've said before, you're racist.
No issue left untouched. No. On all my issues. Oh my.
That's what we're talking about? I'm going to sexually harass him later, too.
No! Yeah.
All issues.
All issues.
All issues.
Not all my issues. All issues.
Well, please save us from this
tangent. Yeah. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yes.
So that is my movie pick that came out in 2001. And if you don't know the movie I'm talking about, turn off this podcast right now, probably, because you probably have no business listening to it. but the cameo that I am talking about is two people.
Twofer.
Twofer. It's a twofer.
I have a twofer later.
Do you have a twofer later?
Oh, actually, I have a threefer at least.
Oh, man.
Possibly morpher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the twofer I'm talking about includes Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah.
And their brief cameo includes the filming of a sequel to one of their popular movies that I wish would get made, because I think it would be rather good for totally different reasons than why the first movie was good. And that would be Good Will Hunting 2 Hunting Season.
Yes.
And that's just, you know, they're poking fun at their own work, and it's just great.
Yeah.
And all I have to say is, how you like them apples?
Applesauce.
Bitch. So, yeah, that's my... What are we on? Number four?
Number four. Okay. Number four.
Number four.
At this point, we can only go two numbers in before chance of racism starts.
Yeah. We used to do so much better.
We're making progress.
That's right.
Progress is That's slow. Right.
We're trying to appeal to that alt-right club.
bring up those viewerships.
Yes.
Numbers. Yeah. Oh, my.
All right.
All right, Sam.
All right, number three.
Number three.
All right, my number three is Freddy's Glove.
Freddy's Glove.
From Jason Goes to Hell.
So not Freddy Prince.
No, Junior. Freddy Cougar's Glove.
Or gotcha. Senior.
Or senior. No.
Freddy's Glove from Chico and the Man showed up in Sanford and Son. Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
No. Oh.
No. not actual fact.
It's an alt fact.
It's an alt fact. But,
let's make Chico and the Man trend for some reason.
Yeah, people be like, what is going on?
What's going on?
Chico and the Man? Freddie Prinze. Thanks, guys! Well, Freddy Krueger's Glove showing up in Jason Goes to Hell. That came out in 1993. And that, at the time that happened, that was a huge deal. To bring up the setup.
Yeah.
It was a time where I think the year before they killed Freddy in Freddy's Dead, the movie Freddy's Dead. And so then when Jason Goes to Hell came out, you know, the whole story was a bit... wasn't the typical typical Friday the 13th. We was dealing with a demonic snake that would just go into dead corpses.
I need to say something right now. And I'm not going where you think I'm going with this. I loved this movie. I absolutely adored it. I've watched it no less than a dozen times. I mean, I haven't watched it in many years, but I absolutely adored this movie. Go on.
It was like interesting, especially like the ending where you know they're like, okay, we thought we killed the snake, but then there's the body of Jason's ancestors, and the snake goes into.
Sometimes it doesn't have to make sense.
and it was like exactly. it gave me a flashback of, you know, Ash and the Evil Dead episode going, and it's like all of a sudden Jason just pops up, and you know. So, you know, they finally kill him or whatever. He finally dies. And only thing that's left is Jason's mask on the ground. And, you know, everyone's just like, you're sitting in the theater. You're like, oh, okay, well, that I guess Jason's going to hell. Okay. And all of a sudden, you just pop out Freddy Krueger's hand with his famous knife glove. Takes it and drags it into hell. And the reason why that's so significant, I bring this up, is it took 10 years for the movies and the movie industry to fulfill our fantasy to bring us Freddy versus Jason. And,
yeah.
And I don't care what anyone says, Freddy versus Jason lived up to what it was supposed to be.
It was awesome.
I mean, I loved it.
I loved it.
I didn't go into that movie expecting Shakespeare.
No.
Yeah, nor should you, really.
No, exactly.
I went in and I wanted Freddy and Jason to fight, and they did.
And they did.
And in a spectacular fashion.
Exactly.
I loved it.
And you just sat there, because like for 10 years, you're like, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? And it was basically stuck in limbo hell, like production hell. It's like,
well...
Which is fitting.
But you know, I love this movie too for a couple different reasons.
All right, let's hear him, because I was about to go. I need to tell you exactly why I love this movie.
Okay.
You start.
Okay. I've got two things. One is real quick. It starts out like where they take his body to.
Yes.
Youngstown, Ohio. And I remember seeing that in the theater and everybody in the theater cheering.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, okay.
But. Which there is a Crystal Lake in Ohio.
Is there?
There's no camp there. You know, in the fictional world, maybe it's the Crystal. It's over by Stowe.
Yeah, why not?
Because I always thought like Elm Street was like some. In some Ohio. Town in Ohio, I thought like Freddie and Jason were like in Ohio for some reason.
Not for some reason, I thought it was Illinois, but hey, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was Illinois too, but I don't know. It could be. Yeah.
So I just was like,
maybe because it was Springfield.
That's probably why I'm just making things up.
But
yeah,
my head
filling in the gaps.
Yeah,
but my number two reason, and I enjoy anthology series, and I think I've divulged that information, you know, like the Twilight Zone and everything. There was a TV show that came on, and it was called Friday the 13th, the series. Yes. Totally different than the actual movie, but the one thing that joins those two things together is the one character played by John DeLaMay. He was the guy that was in Friday the 13th, the series. He is also the guy that's in Jason Goes to Hell.
See, the one that does one of my favorite things, the incredible acrobatics to get the handcuffs in the front of him?
Yes.
I don't know why that sticks with me so much.
Yep.
Okay, so.
So those are my two reasons.
One of your two reasons I had, the Youngstown.
Yeah.
I love the fact that it starts like every Friday the 13th movie in that there is a woman by herself. Doing stupid things, taking a shower, the lights go out. Oh, I'm going to go check this by myself. And then she goes running, you know, Jason's following her, does his normal, hey, I'm nowhere near you. Oh, yep, no, I'm right
there
behind
you.
And then she just ducks and rolls. Spotlights come on, and there's a SWAT team waiting for
him. Yes, awesome.
That was fantastic.
And they literally blow him to pieces.
Yeah. Then I love that the dude, forgive me, but I can't remember his name, the dude from Bubba Hotep is the guy that just randomly, the coroner, who just randomly decides to eat the heart and becomes Jason.
Yeah.
Then I love the Youngstown thing, but I love the other cameo, the other huge cameo.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the
Necronomicon.
Yes, that's right. We did mention that. I forgot.
Randomly. Oh, whatever.
Yep. Which is awesome too.
Which leads
to the comic book
Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. Which, if you haven't read both of those, there's two of them. There's the first Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, and then Freddy versus Jason versus Ash 2. I think it's called Dream Warriors or something like that. Read them, because those tie all into all the Freddy and Jason movies and characters. So, and Evil Dead. So they all tie in. So that's your homework, comic book wise.
There you go. Another awesome pick. Yep. So we got some excellent picks going on.
That's my number three.
Number three.
All right. My number three comes from a television show that was on for 10 years and told the story of young Clark Kent, high school Clark Kent. My number three is the cameo Christopher Reeve in Smallville.
Awesome. Yeah. That is a fantastic cameo.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was in the episode Rosetta Stone. I don't remember the name of the character. Like I said, I did poor research for this. However, he was a scientist who was passing on information of all his studies about Krypton to Tom Welling, Superman. And it was just a nice passing of the torch.
Yes.
From, you know, who unfortunately is Superman, who could not ever play Superman again, passing on.
And unfortunately, I think he died shortly afterwards, too. I think after that episode aired, That's an awesome episode, though.
It was.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a while since I've seen it. Is that the one that ends with the his father talking to him, his real father? Talking to him from the ship for the first time, and it ends kind of with the original Superman theme, or I might be on complete crack. Regardless, even if it's not, in my head it is, and it's even better.
And it should be. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So that's my...
That's an excellent number three.
My short number three.
My number three... I'm going to call back to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Good segue.
Again. This cameo is by none other than the Mark Hamill.
Yes.
He fights a villain that fights, or he plays a villain who fights Bluntman and Chronic. What's his name?
Cockknocker!
That's right. Why is he called that?
Because he had a giant fist that punched you in the crotch.
Exactly. So, it was awesome to see Mark Hamill play that type of character. You kind of see these little homage to lightsabers going on in there. And Chris Rock's character even goes at one point. He's the director for the Bluntman and Chronic movie. He goes... George Lucas is going to sue somebody.
Yeah. I just like because when they show him up immediately across the screen, it says, "Hey, kids, it's Mark Hamill."
Yeah, that too. Exactly. Yep.
That Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back is such a funny movie.
It is so good.
They don't take it serious. And actually, they're coming out with a new one.
I love Jay and Silent Bob.
What's it? Reboot? Jay and Silent Bob reboot?
It's making fun
of reboots while being a reboot?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It was so different than Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy, I love that movie, but I love Jay and Silent Bob for a totally different reason.
It's weird because Clerks is super. It's funny, but it's still a serious kind of movie with serious undertones, and they're cracking wise and everything. But it's still just a regular movie.
Yeah.
And then Mallrats is '80s John Hughes kind of
humor,
even with a dating show, and everything.
Chasing Amy
is again funny, but it's super serious subject.
Yeah.
And then Dogma is absolutely ridiculous subject done with great humor and ends up being a pretty good movie, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jay and Silent Bob is just off the wall.
Yeah, it's just completely like...
It's just like, yeah. Hey, yeah. Everybody's in this.
Yeah, if you were in one of our movies, you're in it.
You, that's right. You could have, honestly, you could have done all five of yours. I think that's the last one. You could have done George Carlin. You could have done Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jason Lee.
Jason Lee. You could have
multiple
done...
Multiple different characters. The
dude from American Pie.
Yeah,
Jason Biggs and
Dawson. Ben Affleck.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
There's just the entire cast. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
The girl from American Pie,
Shannon Doherty is
she is too.
Yeah,
we all could have picked characters from Jason.
And then we would have been done.
whole episode of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Cameos, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
And now I'm kind of sad I didn't choose Carrie Fisher.
Will,
because the rules of the road.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Rules of the Road.
It's a good cameo movie.
It is a good cameo movie.
I'm sorry, I hijacked you again.
That's fine. By all means, that's
sitting here.
That's what
off
we do
Kevin
here.
Smith.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So that's my number three.
Number three.
It was also my number four. Mm-hmm. So.
My honorable mention that I forgot to write.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
All right. No, now we are at the number two, the deuce.
The deuce.
The deuce. All right.
Dropping deuces.
So this deuce about to drop on y'all.
Oh, man.
It's a twofer. My number two is Sigourney Weaver. In two movies.
Oh.
She makes a cameo appearance in the movie Paul that stars Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
You know, I have never seen that movie.
Never seen it?
Is it a good one?
It's weird.
It's all right. Weird. It's weird. I wanted to like it more than I did.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. Especially since it's a movie made up almost entirely of quotations of science fiction movies.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You'd think that'd be amazing.
It was all right.
You know what it is? As I get older, I find stoner humor less funny. Like true stoner humor, and there's a whole lot of Seth Rogen's voice in that movie.
Yeah, Seth Rogen is also in it. He plays Paul.
And I like Seth, but he's just a high alien, and I didn't think that was nearly as.
Yeah.
I like the.
That's funny for 5 minutes, and then.
I love Seth Rogen, but I didn't like him as a Paul.
Yeah, I didn't like him as Paul. But so Simon and Nick, they find Paul, which is played by Joe Rogan, an alien. Seth Rogen.
Joe Rogan would kick your ass.
But he's a funny comedian.
He's a funny comedian. And he could kick everybody's ass.
That's right.
They befriend this alien. And then the government tries to get the alien back, and other hijinks happen where they're running from someone called the big guy. That's probably the head of the government agency.
You know who that big guy was? John Holmes.
Whoa!
Callback.
They digitally enhanced and then added him to the movie.
So at the climax of the movie.
The climax of the movie.
That's a climax with John Holmes.
I'm just thinking about
digitally. we live in the if Carrie Fisher can appear in Rogue One, then John Holmes can appear in every movie, right?
right.
So the climax of the movie, the big guy shows up. Which ends up being Sigourney Weaver. She is the big guy.
Oh.
And head of the government. And, you know, she has them all at gunpoint. And, you know, they're like, we don't want to die. Like, he's got to come back or I got to kill him. And all of a sudden, she gets crushed by a spaceship ladder. Paul's spaceship, people came to pick him up. And that's how she dies. That's one. And then just a year later, and Paul came out in 2011, and then a year later, 2012, we get The Cabin by the Woods.
That's a great movie. That's, I love that movie, yeah.
And she plays the director. I think for 2011, 2012, when she was not a hero and she was more of a villain, it really didn't end well for Sigourney Weaver.
No, it doesn't end
well. It doesn't bode well for Defenders either.
Yeah.
I don't know what character she's playing. Yeah. Clearly is a hand agent.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means she's a finger.
It's a finger of the hand.
Yeah.
Maybe the thumb. Maybe. The most versatile fingers, right?
Yeah, it's opposable.
Maybe it's opposable. Right?
To our defenders.
Yeah.
Right?
That,
Nice. Nice. So.
She's what separates us from the other primates.
That's it. Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver.
You're going to be
Hollywood's opposable thumb.
That's right. There's one takeaway for this podcast.
Sigourney Weaver separates us.
Separates us from
the primates.
Animals, I guess. I don't know.
We are animals.
I don't know where we're going.
We are animals. Just the other primates.
The other primates, yeah.
Whatever.
Because we can do stuff with our thumbs.
Yeah. She could do something
just
with
ask,
her thumb.
Henry Winkler. He knows all about that.
Hey.
Sorry.
So that is my number two, the deuce.
I don't even know. The deuce. There you go. Number
Sigourney
two.
Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver. All right. So your number two was actually two different movies.
Right.
Even.
That's why it was a double deuce.
Man. A double deuce.
Yeah.
My deuce is going to be brief.
Oh, man.
I just.
Not in your briefs.
Might be. We don't know. It's hard to say
for sure.
My deuce is Hugh Jackman in X-Men First Class.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's a good deuce.
Probably my two favorite words in the English language when put together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the cameo here, for those who haven't seen it, of course, is Professor X and Magneto are looking for help.
Yeah, yep.
And they're finding mutants. They're going around to people, and all of a sudden they walk into a bar where Hugh Jackman is drinking, and I believe they barely start their spiel.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And he just immediately is like, fuck off.
And that's it.
Takes a drink, and they, like, fair enough, and walk away.
And
you know,
that's an excellent cameo.
it's short, brief, to the point, and captures the essence of Logan perfectly.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I love
Maybe
it.
With slightly more adult language than we normally saw in the comics, but that's just because they were comics were for kids. You know,
That's right. All right. I
eked out my little deuce, and now we're moving on.
All right.
Yeah. You can deuce like thunder.
I deuce like thunder. Well, you know,
I want you to eat lightning and deuce thunder.
I'm going to one-up your twofer, Sam. I got a threefer.
What?
And mine
threefer
is
madness.
Threefer madness. And we're talking about deuces too. And my deuce is Bruce Campbell in all three Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Wow.
Yeah. So in the first Spider-Man movie by Sam Raimi, he played the ring announcer for Bonesaw. Which was also Macho Man.
Another great cameo.
Yeah, which is also...
Macho Man.
That's... Man, I miss him. And then in Spider-Man number deuce, he was an usher.
For that
theater.
I'm sorry.
Not that usher. Okay. A different usher. Usher.
Part owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's the only lyric from that song I know. Sorry, it's
I don't know if I know any other words.
And I don't know any other Usher songs. I know that they exist. But
Let's see this. I want to make love in the club.
How does that go?
I want to make love in this club. Hey, in this club. Okay. That's that one.
Not ringing that bell.
And I said, yeah. So, dun, 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 come and get me. That's that
come
one.
Come and get me. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. Yeah.
You make me want to be the one with.
Oh, okay. I do know that one.
Yeah. Nope.
So, you got other ones, too. So. But that's us. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't listen to a lot of popular music.
But, yeah. Wasn't referring to that Usher. That was Usher for the theater that Peter was supposed to go see MJ's play.
Right.
Broadway, Bruce Campbell.
And there's no getting past Bruce Campbell.
No. No, sir. No, sir. And in Spider-Man 3.
He was the chair in the emo dance.
No. Yes. Yeah. That, unfortunately, that's the most memorable scene probably from that movie. Yeah. Is that? But no, he was the maitre d' for the restaurant that Peter was going to propose to Mary Jane at. And he has a sweet mustache and French accent, and Bruce Campbell is awesome in pretty much anything you put him in. I think, and it's just great to see him in there, and it's nice to to see that there's still a connection between him and Sam Raimi, and just to do that. So, yeah. So my deuce is Bruce Campbell and all the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Nice.
All right.
I'm done. Yeah.
Threefer.
Threefer.
A triforce shaped deuce.
That's try getting that one out.
5x5. All right, the number one, the R. Kelly Memorial number one.
R. Kelly, man, that's it.
Memorial number one.
All right, my number one.
Spray it on a set. Yeah.
My number one comes in 1996.
Oh, 1996.
It
was a good year.
I
was four.
1996.
No, that's not true.
And it was Drew Barrymore in Scream.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
And a little backstory. At the time,
since it's number one, can we call it Backsplash?
The Backsplash. The Backsplash. Okay. A little background. For a while, Drew Barrymore really wasn't seen in Hollywood movies. I think the last movie that you kind of would remember her in before Scream was basically Poison Ivy.
Yeah. I was even going to say E.T. But
no,
but
I guess Poison Ivy.
Because Firestarter was after E.T.
That's true.
And then,
Cat's Eye.
That's right. You know? That movie too.
I don't like Drew Barrymore. No. She was my first Meghan Trainor.
What? How can you say that?
You know what? I just had Drew Barrymore and I share the same birthday. Dude. Same year too.
Yeah,
right?
Nice.
Makes me want to punch you too. I don't really want to punch her. I don't like her.
You know, like
I like Drew.
There's something about her I just don't like.
Oh. I don't know. There's something about her I like.
There's a couple things about her you like. However,
let me proceed. And at the time, basically, she really wasn't as prominent in Hollywood as when she was a young child actress. So when the poster Scream came out, she's literally in the front. She's like the person.
To be honest
with you, I don't think a lot of people even put that was Drew Barrymore.
Oh, no. I'm a huge horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she was top billing.
Yeah.
That was the shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you were like, because you seen everybody else. I was like, that looks
like
Drew
Barrymore. Yeah, she looked different. Shorter hair.
You had to look at it for a quick minute. You're like, oh, wait, that's Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so when you seeing the first scene, the most memorable scene, which started out that made the movie famous, like, do you like scary movies? And you see her in it, you're like, oh, well, Drew Barrymore is going to
She's the main character, right?
Yeah. She's in the front on the poster and everything.
Right.
Exactly.
And she's the biggest star by far.
Anything. It's like, who are you?
Except Henry Winkler.
And you're like, you only knew if you happen to watch Party of Five, you might have known who who Nev Campbell was, but you're just
yeah,
like,
yeah, but still, she was no Drew Barrymore.
She was no Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. Even through my not liking her, I can recognize her star power.
Yeah,
that's
So it was kind of like, so when you're like, oh, it's Drew Barrymore, like, what the heck happened? And you're sitting there trying to the question that was asked there, like, who was the killer in Friday the 13th? Because, you know, her boyfriend.
And
she got it wrong. And everyone was like, and, you know, people in the theater were like, most like casual people were like, wait, she got that right. And when it's like, no, it was Jason's mom.
Meanwhile, I was like, when they asked the question, I was like, oh, this is so stupid. Jason, it wasn't Jason. It was Jason's mom. Like, and then I was like, they know what's going on.
Yeah.
And
but that was a pretty big
shock. It was a pretty big shock and a pretty big deal when her character died at the very beginning of the movie. And it was just like, I think that cameo put Drew Barrymore back in people's sight.
On the radar.
So
I would say too that like that movie brought back like the whole horror movie genre.
Exactly.
For several years up until that movie came out, there was like there were no horror movies.
Right? No, because you had you had Freddy Goes to Hell and
Freddy
Dead and Jason Goes to Hell and that was everyone.
That was it. Yeah.
So
that's it. I like it.
Thank you, Drew Barrymore.
There you go.
Yeah,
and then she ends up, you know, doing several movies with Adam Sandler, which
maybe that's why I don't like her. I don't know. I didn't hate her in E.T. I didn't hate her in Cat's Eye.
You hated her in The Wedding Singer.
That's a pretty good movie. Yeah,
which has an awesome cameo.
It's pretty good despite her.
At some point, she started talking
out of the side of her mouth, and I don't know what it is about it. For whatever reason, that really bothers me. And
That was probably never been kissed because she does talk on it. So does Alicia Silverstone. She kind of talks on the side of her mouth, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alicia
I wonder if that's like a Botox.
I can't discuss this publicly. After the podcast, I'll talk about Alicia Silverstone.
Okay. Podcast
special after hours.
All of my issues after dark.
No, it's not that time to talk about Alicia Silverstone. I just don't want public record of what I'm about to say.
Oh, gotcha. Wow,
okay. That's my number one.
That's becoming a mystery now.
Yes. Everybody listening in, send us what you think Chris is talking about.
All right. My R. Kelly Memorial number one.
Yeah.
Is a many fur.
Oh.
Because I'm just going to list the show.
Oh. Okay.
That features a cameo in almost every episode, maybe every episode, but I'm going to narrow it down to just a couple. Extras. Ricky Gervais, I believe that's how you say his name.
Yeah.
Who I absolutely adore. I think he's hilarious.
He is hilarious. That show is so good, too. I love that show.
The two cameos, there's three cameos. One, Daniel Radcliffe playing himself as the young kid who's trying to appear more adult by smoking. You know, but it's very clear. Yeah, it great there. But I'm not going to dwell on him too much. I'm going to talk first about Sir Patrick Stewart. Sir Patrick Stewart is playing himself who wants to direct. And every movie idea that he's ringing by ends with like attractive women and their clothes falling off. And it's just so fun to hear Patrick Stewart and she's, you know, talking about it and she's naked, you know, and you can see her boob, you know, just whatever. And it's just hilarious. But my absolute favorite is Ian McKellen, who's directing a play that Ricky Gervais's character is auditioning for, and Ricky Gervais sits there and Ian McKellen begins to explain what he expects, and he's like talking about, you know, you won't have the script in front of you on the day of the play, and he's like, you'll be playing Paul or whatever the name was, and he's like, but you won't actually be Paul, you'll be pretending to be Paul. Yeah. And he's like, I played Gandalf. I am not a wizard. Yeah. But Peter Jackson saw me. It said, you know, come. And so if I was to map it out, it would go, Sir Ian, Sir Ian, Sir Ian, action. You shall not pass. Cut. Sir Ian, Sir Ian. And it's just this brilliant description of acting is basically playing pretend by one of the greatest actors ever.
It is awesome.
Absolutely fantastic. It's,
I need to rewatch that series because it is so good.
It is
so good. Yeah,
it is. That's my number one.
All right,
that's number one.
I guess we'll go to my number one, R. Kelly Memorial. And my number
pretend
one,
we're teenage girls and just hit and us just, with it.
It hit you with it. Oh man.
Not that you would normally do that.
I know, no.
I mean, I was referring to R. Kelly specifically.
Let's just make it clear.
Just to make it clear.
Yeah, just...
I don't know who you pee on.
That's exactly. my number one is an Adam Sandler movie. But
F off.
But
no.
Drew Barrymore is not in this movie.
All right, proceed.
So, and I just need to say this: The Price is Wrong, bitch.
Yes.
And the movie I'm talking about, Happy Gilmore.
I love Happy Gilmore.
Bob Barker. So, that's pretty much. Yeah, you know, some golfing going on. I mean, that scene in that movie, you know, it's funny that Bob Barker's in the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny that Adam
Sandler says that. That is another movie that I quote.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
For weird reasons. What, yeah. Friends can listen to Endless Dark in the, or Endless Love in the Dark?
But the fight scene between Adam Sandler and Bob Barker, too. It's just hilarious because, you know, it's...
Go into your home. And this is Bob Barker, really. I'm sorry. Yeah. Are you too good for your home? What else was there? Oh, I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast. You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
Yeah.
Hear what I say. You're going to pay.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He just starts rhyming. I'm going to need some hay and whatever. Oh, gosh. That's a good movie. Shooter McGavin.
Shooter McGavin.
Man, and let's not forget Carl Weathers.
All right.
Chubby.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Was fantastic.
That's a good
movie. I wish there were, you know, Adam Sandler needs to make more movies like that. It seems like he's lost his edge a little bit. Like, that's a little bit edgy.
I don't know if we talked about this, but I think he just makes movies that he can put his friends in that will make a decent amount of money. And he doesn't, I mean, he has other people probably writing them for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't blame him for what he's doing.
Oh, no, I would do the same exact thing. Yeah.
And I've watched a couple movies with his acting in it that aren't funny.
Yeah.
And he's, I mean, the...
Punch Drunk Love?
Spanglish?
Funny People?
I haven't seen that.
But his performance was great, and then The Love Rain Over Me is fantastic. Particularly he is fantastic in it.
He can definitely pull it off.
I mean, he can do whatever he wants.
That's
his own thing. It's just that I guess what happens is for us is that we lived in a time where there was a lot of movies about man children.
Yeah.
That we identify with or whatever, and it becomes probably less funny as they're reaching their 50s.
That's probably true. That is probably true, yeah.
So I don't know if he can still make the same movies, but I mean, like Tommy Boy and Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. I mean, he wasn't in Tommy Boy, obviously,
but yeah, same man child. Same type of movie.
But I did enjoy Grown Ups 2. Grown Ups 2 is one of my favorites.
No,
I know. I can't speak to Grown Ups 2. I only saw Grown Ups 1.
Grown Ups 2 is funny. Pixels was pretty funny.
I like Pixels.
Oh, man, I can't talk about that. Never mind. It's spoiling things that I don't want to spoil, so.
Oh.
I almost said something that was.
Oh, okay. Well. All right, I guess that's...
Honorable mentions.
Yeah. We have... what do we got here? Let me see. I think I have a few honorable mentions.
Yeah, well,
in honor of, you know, Stan Lee and all his cameos, I wanted to bring up one of his cameos.
Oh, yeah.
Which, did you know...
Oh, bum, bum, bum.
Stan Lee made a cameo in the 1986 episode of... Muppet Babies.
What?
The episode was called Comic Capers. And
really?
And he played himself. The babies read the Sunday comics and decided to make their own. And Stan Lee played himself in Muppet Babies.
Man, see, I thought I've seen every episode of Muppet Babies. And this one does not ring a bell.
I've seen this episode.
I haven't watched Muppet Babies in a long time, but I used to watch that
all the time.
I did too.
I don't know why. I might have been a little old for it.
I think I was probably.
I probably didn't tell my friends.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were Muppets. And I liked the Muppets.
But, yeah, me too. Loved the Muppets. So.
And there were babies in there.
Right. Which, you know, they did make a cameo and the cool Muppet Babies did make a cameo in Muppets Take Manhattan. So the Muppet Babies made a cameo.
That's where they started, though.
That's where they started.
Yeah.
When you knew it was kind of weird and you wish you were there, just close your eyes and make believe. Pretend that you were there.
I love it.
You might be taking this a bit far, Sam.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's lines being crossed at this point.
Yeah, we're all a little uncomfortable right now.
I need an adult.
One of the honorable mentions that I had... besides Stanley in pretty much every Marvel movie, but the one that I was going to mention was Chuck Norris in Dodgeball.
Yes,
that's pretty much all I have to say about that. He's Chuck Norris. I mean, you know, we could go on for hours about Chuck Norris.
What's your favorite Chuck Norris joke?
Ooh, that's a good one.
What's your favorite Chuck Norris? Not your joke.
I have to think about this.
Oh,
there are so many good ones.
Though. I have a whole book.
Yeah.
I got one with Chuck Norris and one with Chuck Norris and Mr. T.
Oh.
Ooh. Which is hilarious.
That's our... I don't know if I have a favorite Chuck Norris joke.
I think my favorite is... just it's more of a statement. Just Chuck Norris once visited the Virgin Islands. Just the islands.
that is a good one.
Does anyone else have any honorable mentions?
I might have another one, but I don't want to do two in a row. Oh,
I don't know. Do you have more? Well, no, I just don't want to.
Yeah.
Well, so if you have more, I will give you Pearl Jam.
Oh.
In the movie Singles,
okay.
Playing a band named Citizen Dick.
yep.
It was like three quarters of Pearl Jam, I think. There was a lot of cameos from the Seattle people.
There were. Yeah, because Alice Soundgarden was in there.
Alice in Chains.
Because that movie is the one that made me really fall in love with the band Alice in Chains, actually, too. Because they had that one song, Wood.
Yes.
I love that song.
Dedicated to Andrew Wood.
Yes, yeah, that's right, yeah, from Mother Love Bone.
Mother Love Bone, from the ashes, gave birth to Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
There. We could give you a history of Seattle music if you'd like.
Yeah, that's,
all of my issues with Seattle.
Seattle.
The next hour will all be...
And now I will begin discussion of the threefold song Alive, Once, and Footsteps, also known as the Mama Son Trilogy. Okay, I'll stop there.
No, that's a good pick. I love that one. Actually, that's a good one. The Neil Patrick Harris in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
And I think the last one I had, I don't know if you guys have any others or...
I got this one.
More. Oh, yeah.
No, I got plenty more.
Amber?
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Mine is... the digital, the music group Digital Underground, featuring Tupac Shakur and Nothing But Trouble.
Oh, 1991. Man, that's a good.
I haven't thought about that movie in a long time.
You know, that's a really weird, good movie. Mm-hmm. But yes. It's good.
It had like John Candy, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, and Demi Moore.
Man, I kind of want to watch
one of these. It's not like the other.
Man, that is a really weird movie.
That's a weird movie. But yes.
Yeah.
All right.
I kind of want to watch that movie right now, actually.
My next honorable mention is Alice Cooper in Wayne's World.
Oh, yeah.
Providing strange background information like Milwaukee or The Good Land. Random. I liked it.
That is awesome. I think the last one I have is Star Trek, the 2009 Star Trek one that kind of rebooted the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But we still get to see one person from the original Star Trek films and series and all that kind of stuff. That's Leonard Nimoy.
That's pretty awesome.
Spock. Yeah, because that was like a real big reveal at the end. You're like, oh, yeah.
And he died before the second one. It was kind of sad.
Yeah, that was kind of sad.
Paid a little tribute to him.
Yeah.
Do you have more?
I'm good.
All right, I got four more. Hulk Hogan in Rocky III.
Yes.
As Thunderlips.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Why don't they just go by Hulk Hogan?
I don't know.
Why do they have to?
Oh, I probably do actually know that.
Oh, because probably.
Marvel owns the rights to the name Hulk Hogan.
Really?
Yeah. Because they use the word Hulk in there.
Oh.
So anytime that you see something with Hulk or with Hulk Hogan in it, like a video game or something, there's a little thing that says copyright Marvel Comics Group or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and that was right when wrestling was beginning to take off. But man, I remember seeing that. I saw that movie in the theater.
Yeah.
My friend's dad took us to see it. And, man, he just looked unstoppable to me. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. He looked enormous, especially next to, like, Sly Stallone. He's not the tallest person in the world.
No, he's not.
I mean, he made Hulk Hogan look...
I mean, Hulk Hogan's built at 6'5", which means he's probably 6'1" or 6'2".
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's... that was pretty cool back in the day. I'm sorry, Sam, did you say you had more? No. Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction appears for only a few seconds telling the story of a watch.
That's a pretty awesome
story. Yeah. And now, pretty memorable. Little man. Yeah. So,
I'm going to give this watch to you.
Now I give this watch to you. Long years. Held this uncomfortable hunk of metal. Then I've got... Oh, you've got one, Sam?
I do got one.
Let's hear it. I don't want to just blather on.
Mine is Rodney Dangerfield in Natural Born Killers.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. That is true. He is in that. Yeah. Man, a very unflattering portrayal of Rodney Dangerfield in that film.
Yeah, that was...
Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder. As that agent.
Is that technically a cameo?
Well, he's hardly in it.
Okay.
And he's wearing full makeup and was unbilled until the end.
Okay.
So, That's why I called it. And the other one I'm going with is Val Kilmer in True Romance, who appears as Elvis.
He's also off, crazy,
slightly
right?
off
yeah,
camera.
Yeah.
you don't actually get to see him too much, but you get to hear him talking to. He's the conscience of.
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie? Is that his name? I forget. I remember Alabama, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't.
Clarence. That was what
is
it
that
was.
Is that what it was? Okay. It's been a while since I've seen that movie. Yeah. Too. That's a good movie, though.
It is.
All right, I guess that's...
Gary Oldman also in that
movie. Gary Oldman, yeah, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Wild man, what a role that was for him in Dreadlocks.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh, so man. Good in there. Brad wow. Pitt in yeah. True Romance as the roommate who's stoned all the time on
yeah,
the couch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's awesome, too.
James Gandolfini in True Romance as the hitman. Bronson Pinchot in True Romance as the Hollywood director.
Oh my gosh.
Man, I should have just done all True Romance.
I know,
you
man.
Could,
I didn't
even you could have done all Jan Silent Bob.
Yep. That's awesome.
I could have done Sigourney Weaver.
You could have done Sigourney Weaver.
Yep.
There is no Dana, only Zool. That's a starring role. That's not really a cameo.
All right. I guess that's all of our issues.
That's all of our issues.
That's all of our issues.
For today. Well.
Wow. Well, all of our issues with cameos.
All of our issues with cameos. Not the band. But.
So, you know. Word up.
Word up. Sorry.
All right. Check us out on allourissues.com, on the Facebook, on the Twitter. You can email us at.
info@allmyissues.com.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Later.